Hi, this is Taylor.
And Cameron.
And you're listening to the Black Maid and Debt Free podcast.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast. Make some noise up in here. Nah, I'm playing.
Ooh, you hype.
I'm a little bit hype. I'm a little excited. Shira, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You know, I was just sharing that I'm feeling just a little bit groggy, you know?
Yes.
There's been a lot of holiday, like, celebrations, and I feel like we've just been out and about, and yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people, and my immune system is just not used to that just yet. Of course,
Yeah. You
know, we've been maskless for a while.
Right.
But I just feel like my immune system being overwhelmed, like too many humans.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm definitely getting congested, and that's like the telltale sign of maybe something's on the horizon, you know?
But we're not going to claim it.
No, we're not going to claim it.
Okay,
we're walking in health.
Yes.
Health and wealth, right?
So we went to a Kings game recently.
Yes,
so
Sacramento Kings. Shout out to them.
Ton of people at that game.
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot of celebrations.
Yes.
I am proud of the Kings, though. I will say that.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. Yeah. Shout out to them. All right, Shire, we got to get into this. We're going to be getting into this story of the discrepancy, the lending discrepancy from Navy Federal Credit Union. Now, this story dropped at the tail end of last week on how there was a disparity. Is that the right word, disparity?
I don't think so. You okay. mean a disparity?
Yes, a disparity. There was a disparity in the lending on the mortgage side, right? So we're going to talk about that because I have a theory. Shira agreed with the theory at first. And then she woke up today and she wanted to argue the other point. So we're going to have a debate style show, right? We're going to tell the story of Navy Federal. I'm going to give my reasons as to why that is, right? I'm going to hold folks accountable. And Shire is going to argue a different point. And we're going to flip a coin to see who can argue their case first. No one's going to rebut. And then the next party will have their opportunity. So let's get into it, Shire. Let's let the people know about the story, just in case they haven't heard
it. Okay, I will, but can I just say, when you asked Taylor for a coin this morning.
Yes, we flipping a coin.
I didn't think you were really serious about this, quote unquote, debate style podcast this morning.
Yes.
But we'll see how it goes. Looking at an article from CNN titled, "The Nation's Largest Credit Union Rejected More Than Half Its Black Conventional Mortgage Applicants." And just as a reminder, when it says conventional loans, those are typically loans where you're putting down a higher down payment than like an FHA loan. So you're probably looking at around 20%. So anyone that's applying for a conventional loan usually has their ducks in a row.
It requires a higher credit score.
They have some money saved, maybe significant savings, and you know, I mean, it's the conventional loan. So usually they're, you know, it's a responsible person that's mm-hmm. doing this. Okay, so CNN says that the largest credit union in the U.S. has the widest disparity in mortgage approval rates between white and black borrowers of any major lender, a trend that reached new heights last year, a CNN analysis found. Mm-hmm. Navy Federal Credit Union, which lends to military service members and veterans, approved more than 75% of the white borrowers who applied for a new conventional home purchase mortgage in 2022, according to the most recent data available from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. But less than 50% of black borrowers who applied for the same type of loan were approved. While many banks also approved white applicants at higher rates than black borrowers, the nearly 29 percentage point gap in Navy Federal's approval rates was the widest of any of the 50 lenders that originated the most mortgage loans last year. So the disparity remains among white and black applicants who had similar incomes and debt-to-income ratios. Notably, Native Federal approved a slightly higher percentage of applicants from white borrowers making less than $62,000 a year than it did of black borrowers making $140,000 or more per year. A deeper statistical analysis performed by CNN found that black applicants to Navy Federal were more than twice as likely to be denied as white applicants, even when more than a dozen different variables, including income, debt-to-income ratio, property value, down payment percentage, and neighborhood characteristics were the same. So it goes on to share some background about this credit union, saying that it was founded to serve Navy employees, and it's now open to all members of the armed forces, veterans, and even, you know, their relatives. And one of the stories that the article highlights is a story of a Texan, a black business owner. And we do have a clip of that. And so maybe we'll hear a little bit of their story.
Okay, let's check it out.
Here, Navy Federal Credit Union only approved 48%. That's less than half of its black applicants for conventional home mortgages. White borrowers were approved more than 75% of the time. It's the biggest gap among the top 50 lenders. The data also shows Navy Federal was more than twice as likely to deny black mortgage applicants than white ones, even when different variables, including income, debt, property value, and down payment percentage, were the same.
Your credit was in the 700s. Mm-hmm. You'd recently sold your house. Mm-hmm. You had $100,000 for the down payment, which was more than 20%.
Correct. I mean, one more could you ask for?
CNN reviewed Otondi's financial documents. He even had a pre-approval letter from Navy Federal in hand. But just 2 weeks before closing,
I got a denial. Sent me a letter saying, "You're sorry, but your application has been denied."
The denial letter listed excessive obligations in relation to income as the reason. But it wasn't just Otondi. Thousands of other black applicants were also rejected. According to a CNN analysis of federal consumer protection data, Navy Federal Credit Union denied CNN's request for an on-camera interview. In a statement, it said it is committed to equal and equitable lending practices and that CNN's recent analysis does not account for major criteria required by any financial institution to approve. Last year, Navy Federal Credit Union only approved 48%.
All right, so we kind of got an idea. Sure, I want to make an executive decision, and I want you to state your case first, because I feel...
Well, you have to. You haven't told the flip side of the story. I think you have to tell both
well, this
sides.
Is your, maybe you can do that during your opening statement.
I mean, at this point, there's nothing. So there's nothing to challenge. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you want me to go ahead and... So it's my go.
Yes, but I will say a few things. So we're going to talk about, like, some variables. I think Marcus will share.
Don't argue any of my points. I want to argue my own point. Don't help me out.
I think that Marcus will share that the reporting has had some, is biased. you know. And so that, you know, CNN and a lot of Instagrammers, podcasters, hey, are probably taking it like a one-sided view to this. And so far, we've only presented one side. So I want you, if you're okay.
I'm here. I'm waiting in the corner. I'm waiting for, yes. I got a corner three wide open. Just throw me the ball.
Exactly. So I'm getting ready to throw it. You know, it's going to be one of those chest passes. So you got to, you know, be ready for the ball.
Yes.
So a lot of applications were denied. And a lot of applications were denied in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. It like the denial rate for black mortgages at this institution shot up. And I didn't cover it in what was read, but it really shot up since 2019. And so I'm going to just throw you the ball.
You see, this is what frustrates me about Shira, y'all.
What?
Shira is now, since our morning conversation, she's now kind of acquiescing to some of my points, right?
I have to, because you said it's going to be a debate, and so you have. I'm just okay. Trying to set the scene.
Is it my go?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, shout out to CNN for the investigative reporting and these numbers. We're going to say, for the sake of this conversation, that I'm going to even say all of those, that 43% gap, there were all qualified applicants. I'm not going to argue that they weren't. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, maybe there were some things we didn't see, although I'm sure that was involved. What I will say, and just to close that point off, because once again, going forward, we're going to assume all the denied black applicants in this statistic should have been approved. But I will say this.
I don't think that's fair to say.
Well, I want to say that just to kind of even help the argument from CNN, because I got some things that's going to pretty much destroy it. One thing we have to understand is that Navy Federal does not have an FHA mortgage program. And why is that significant? We touched on it on the front end, but the qualifications for a conventional loan are much higher, right? And most institutions that have both conventional and FHA mortgages will auto-default someone who doesn't meet the criteria for a conventional to an FHA. Mm-hmm. So what happens in that instance? The person applies for a mortgage. They apply for a conventional. They don't qualify, but they do qualify for an FHA. They get their home. They're happy. We never hear any statistics about how that person was denied. But with Navy Federal, there is no subsidiary program to put folks into, which may contribute to the higher than normal denial rate. There is no level two to go to. If you don't hit level one, you're automatically kicked out. So that's point number one. Point number two, because like Shira said, on many black publications in finance, our brothers and sisters that we follow, that we have had on this show, they talked about this story, and shout out to them. But I'm going to challenge those folks. I don't think they, and I was telling Shire this, I don't think a lot of people are in these scammer culture streets as I am. Okay. I like a little toxicity in my life, right? So even when it comes to finance, which is a above board positive genre of content, I like to dibble and dabble into the toxic realm, right? And I like to indulge in scammer and scammer reaction content. And I live in this world. Shout out to JT the Pocket Watch, a friend of the show. If you haven't heard of him, he's blowing up. We had him on the show when he was, you know, on the ascend. But he is one of the leading voices in black finance scamming culture, where he calls out a lot of individuals. He calls out a lot of major publications. And if you have been listening to any of that content, you know, excuse me for the noise. If you've been listening to any of that content, you know good and well that Navy Federal, since 2019, 2020, has been the lifeblood of scamming, fraud, and scamming plays. Now, I told Shara to type this word in. If you haven't done this and you're listening to this podcast, I want you, when you get off this podcast, to type in the word or the line into your Google search browser. Navy Federal Play. Navy Federal Play. Now, the word play is a scammer culture term. It's a double entendre. It's a play, as in running a play from a sports perspective, doing carrying out an instructive order, run this play. And but the double entendre comes in because you also playing somebody. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, fellas. Playing that sister, playing a game, getting over on someone. If you type that into your search browser, you will see hundreds of videos from, sorry to say, black financial scammers getting over on Navy Federal Credit Union, extracting tens of thousands of dollars through fraud by not only inflating their income, but also providing documents that are fraudulent that substantiate the inflated income. What does that do for those who are really out here trying to get mortgages and really handle their business? And unfortunately, were casualties in this. That allows Navy Federal to do what most institutions want to do anyway, and that is discriminate against our brothers and sisters, our black brothers and sisters. To me, that is why this number is so high. And Shara hinted on it, I'm going to leave. This is going to be Shara's point. This is my last point, I'm going to leave.
Okay.
In 2018, the disparity between black and white mortgagers when it comes to Navy Federal
approvals,
thank you, Shara, was 11%. That's not bad at all. Yeah. That was actually one of the better ones.
Right.
From 2019 to current, which happens to coincide with the influx of Navy Federal credit union scams, the number has risen substantially. I don't think that is a coincidence. I think it is a direct reflection, an overcorrection by Navy Federal Credit Union to counteract these tens of thousands of millions of dollars that have been extracted via black financial scammers. Okay. Now, Navy Federal will never admit to this. They will never tell you the number because that's bad for business, right? If I'm a patron of Navy Federal and you're losing millions of dollars on the back end because of scammers, it's going to be a run on the bank. I'm up out of there. So they're never going to come out and tell you just how much they've lost. But what they will do is overcorrect, like we're seeing. So what we've done is we've pointed out the symptom of the disease and not the cause. Shire, I rest my case.
Are you sure you want to rest?
Take off.
Okay, so just let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. You're saying
you heard me correctly. You know what I'm saying?
You're saying that. Oh, wait. Do you want to play the scammer clip?
Yeah, let's go ahead and buttress my argument, and then I'll be out of here.
So is this clip that Pocket Watcher put together, which was a compilation of influencers telling people what they need to do and how they can get this money from this credit union?
Some of y'all's favorite financial influencers, but y'all didn't hear that from me. Let's play this. I'm sick of this stuff.
So EYL University... And it's an extension of the podcast. It's pretty much like on steroids.
With Navy Federal, a lot of times they tell us that you can't get a Navy Federal unless you're a member of the armed services or you come from your father was, right? The backdoor method to get a Navy Federal was this. You can literally call Navy Federal and tell them, hey, listen, my grandfather was in the military. My grandfather was in the military. He passed away. I don't have any of his information. And when they come back, what they'll do is actually let you in.
Did you know you could get inside Navy Federal without actually being in the Army or Navy?
Say that your grandfather was in the Army, even though that they wasn't.
Execute the play, man. We at Navy Federal right now, man. We're gonna execute the play. We don't got no excuses. We gonna run the play. It's snowing right now.
They got Navy Federal. Tap your ass in, man. Anybody with a Navy Federal, get in my DM now. What you waiting for? I made a band in my honor.
Shout out to Pocket Watch with JT. Shire, the floor is yours.
I hope you beep out that profanity.
We will. We got to keep it clean. Okay. But y'all get the point. Y'all get the point.
Okay. I don't think that clip proved anything, but it did show that there are a handful of influencers or scammers online saying you can get into Navy Federal. They weren't telling you how to get a home loan. They weren't telling you how to get a personal loan. They were just encouraging you to give false information to a bank, which you should never do, right?
They were just telling you. Okay, keep going.
My grandfather, he was in the military. And then here's $100,000 for you because you're relative. I mean, anyway, I hear what you're saying. I think that there is a line that we try to toe, a lot of us, we try to toe, and that is accountability, right? Mm-hmm. Like calling out your own people. If you played a role, we're not going to just give you a pass and blame the white man. We're going to hold our own feet to the fire. But then there's the other side of, wow, there is a history of racial discrimination, absolutely, loan discrimination in this country. And so what I don't want us to do is to be so far on one side that we don't acknowledge the other. So I don't want us to be so far on, man, it's a scammer's fault. This is why we're being denied loans. Yeah, it's all their fault. And I don't want us to be like, this is all the bank's fault, and like be completely blind to the scam underculture that is very prevalent on social media. I also don't want us to, what's it called when the victim starts to blame themselves for injustice that has happened?
Victim blaming.
Or the self-blame. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is might be a little far-fetched, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. We'll see how it lands. But don't stick. It's like, you know, you hear stories of someone who was, you know, taken or brainwashed, you know, by, you know, an abductor. And then they'll start to blame themselves for terrible things that have happened to them when it's really not their fault. Mm-hmm. And so in this country, we've had a lot of terrible things happen to us.
Yes.
And what I don't want us to do is to say, you know, bad things are still persisting in society and it's our fault because of something that we've done, when it's really a broken system, when it's really systemic racism. So how do we walk that fine line? And so when we first had our conversation and then you start telling me about all the scams, I was just like, this is terrible. And, you know, is Navy Federal going to come out and say, you know, we've had this influx of scams? Like, what would be their media approach? Unfortunately, their approach is silence. But who knows? Maybe next year they'll come out with some grants for people of color. I mean, like, they'll do something. You know, most banks do. They try to clean up their reputation. Will it be genuine? I don't know. But whatever. But right now it's silence, right? So we don't know. And so anywho, when you were telling me the story, I was like, you know what? We need to hold our own feet to the fire. Let's talk about this. And then I woke up this morning. Mm-hmm. I woke up this morning and then I heard, you know, this black business owner with $100,000 down payment was pre-approved. And then 2 weeks before closing, get denied. What kind of foolishness is that? You know, what kind of foolishness is that? And mm-hmm. I do want to go back to something you said earlier about the types of loans that they offer. You're correct. They do not offer FHA loans, but they do offer VA loans, okay, which is what? 0% down?
Right. But you need to be a veteran.
Exactly. Well, this is a veterans credit union. So you need to have some type of affiliation in order to be a part of, to be in that credit union. They offer another loan type called a military choice loan. They do have the conventional fixed rate loan. And on their website, it advertises the fact that you can have a down payment less than 20%. They say 5%. But the person in the video had 20% down. So it's just like, make it make sense. And then they do have a couple of other mortgages. But you're right. You know, if you don't qualify for the conventional, you would probably likely qualify for FHA. And if they don't offer it, then you might be denied. A follow-up to the story, to the clip, was that the individual from Texas, when they received that denial letter, they went somewhere else.
Somewhere else and got it.
And they were approved within 2 weeks. Okay, so if you're really qualified, maybe this is not the place to have your loan. But I don't know.
Okay.
Oh. You know, maybe this is not the place to have your loan. Then let's talk about home buying practices. Should a person just apply at one place, or should you apply at more than one place? I don't know that we've ever needed to do that.
Yeah, I'm like, you know me, Shire, if I find a good restaurant, I'm going back to that restaurant.
Yeah.
But yes, some schools of thought is you should apply to multiple ones to see where you get the best rate, where you get the best everything. But me, you know.
Yeah, we haven't done that. But I will say that a couple years ago when the mortgage rates were super low, we had just bought the home that we're in now, and we had a neighbor that refinanced for like an even lower rate. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, shoot, let's just go through the process to see if we can get a lower interest rate. Yeah. I mean, our interest rate is already pretty low comparable to what's happening now. And whoever we worked with, they were not a person of color. They totally botched our application. They put that we wanted a cash out refi. We did not want a cash out refi. Like, we hadn't been here very long. We never said that. And it just got so messed up that we just completely walked away.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Well, Shire, now, if you allow me to push back a little, I agree with what you're saying. And my thing is this. If you spit on me, you didn't kill me. You didn't hurt anyone close to me, but you disrespected me to such a degree that spitting on you back might not be how I choose to respond. What are you trying to say, Marcus? Because there's some $10,000, $25,000, $100,000 credit card fraud by a particular group doesn't necessarily mean that I will just react and respond to people who are trying to get credit card loans in that group going forward. Maybe I'll respond to that group going forward by denying them in the mortgage side, or maybe what I'm saying is we can't critique how one responds to something that has been done to them. And I think that's what we try to do. We try to say, oh, it need to be eye for an eye. They doing too much. This is my business. This is my money to lend. And unfortunately, I'm not saying it's right. Don't, because I'm going to tell you another story here in a second. But we can't say, man, why, all I did was step on your shoe, man. Why did you punch me in the jaw? Because that's how I wanted to respond. Now what? So the fact that this bank started and that brother and those people, I start off by saying, I believe those people were good qualified lendees. But I think that the stain was put on the entire group, unfortunately. But we know good and doggone well that that's how we're treated here in the United States. And that's how we've been treated. So when we see it happen, we'd be like, man, how could they do us like that? We know that's how they want that. That's how they've done us, especially financial institutions historically have treated us that way. And I'm going to say this and I'm going to let you get some more in. You're looking at a person, me and you, you're looking at two individuals that had a brand deal with a major lender. Okay. The lender months later had sketchy lending practices to black folks. We did our homework. We did our research. Those discriminations were unmerited. And we called that brand out. This is a brand that not only did we do a brand deal with, but we have homes with this, with these folks. And we got on this podcast and called them out. And like most content, that was one of our highest viewed videos and one of our highest viewed things on Instagram, because, you know, we know people like a little drama and everything. But anyway, so we have no problem calling out injustice when we see it, when it's merited. But what we must do, Sharon, you hinted towards this, we must pull back the layers and not be so knee jerk. I'm reminded of a story of the boy who cried wolf, and I'm preaching that. Now I'm tuning up. So if you got an organ, somebody put me in a key. I'm reminded of a story, the boy who cried wolf. And this story always resonated with me because the boy cried wolf so much that when a wolf really was there, he really needed help. There was some real injustice. They had already heard the dog whistle too much, and no one reacted. That's what we're facing. That's what we're fighting against in the community. I'm done. You can go ahead, Shara. Take off.
Okay. So you're saying that we're crying wolf?
I'm not saying in this instance, but I said we have to be careful.
About what we make a big deal out of.
We have to pull back the layers and say, is this worth checking or calling out, or do we need to check ourselves? And I think in this instance, we started a fire and the fire got out of control, and the fire took people out that didn't need to be consumed within that fire. And now we're reacting to the final, you know, thing. And we're not looking at, well, what caused the fire? You know, that's all I'm talking about.
Well, we don't have evidence that the scammers are behind this huge denial for black applicants.
So it's the numbers aren't evidence. How in 2018 there was no gap, and in 2019, the same time frame where pandemic and scam culture took went to another level, that's not enough evidence for you?
Well,
it's a direct correlation.
Okay, I see there's correlation,
but
did it actually cause it? But you're right.
That's fair. That's fair.
And I think that those of you who are like really interested in the story, I would encourage you to check out that CNN article because it does talk about the gap between black and white mortgage applicants has widened, and it looks at Navy Federal Credit Union's approval rate in 2018. The gap was, like you said, it was 11.3%. And now in 2022, the gap is 28.6% in approvals for between black and white. Mm-hmm. So yes, there's social media that occurred during that time gap. But me being a person on the outside, I'm wondering if there are other variables as well.
Yeah.
Did they manipulate the criteria for approval in a way that it would discriminate against blacks? Were there leadership changes? I want to know what happened. I think
it's hard for me to think
there's more to the story than just finding a black person who was denied and putting their story up.
Yes.
I feel like in banking in general, there needs to be more transparency when it comes to why a bank is denying your loan, because it was not just a disparity with blacks. For our Latino brothers and sisters,
Latinx.
Latinx. Their approval rate, was 56%. For blacks, the approval rate was 48%. So our Latino brothers and sisters is still about half. Asian. Now we know that Asian, that group of people in America, is what we consider to be Asian, is very wide, is very vast. There's definitely many groups that fall under that umbrella. But at the end of the day, they're still the highest earning group in the U.S.
We're going to talk about that on another pod. I want to get into that. I like that. I'm into that.
Marcus, okay. I'm trying to stay with
me.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Let's go.
Stay with me. Okay. So their approval rate was 69%, which some would say is really good, but it's still less than white folks, and they have higher incomes in general. So I think that there's discrimination across the board when it comes to people of color. But in the news, we're always the ones in the news, but we're not the only ones.
Okay. That's real.
And so if we are saying that the scamming contributes to us being denied, what about the other groups?
Well, does the scamming...
What about the Latinos? What about Asians? What about other people of color?
Does the scamming from us contribute to people of color at large being discriminated?
Marcus, but it's really not fair to say that scammers are just black.
That's not even true. And when you click on this list, and let me preface it. Thank you for pointing that out. When you click on this list, you'll see white YouTubers as well.
Exactly.
Saying, hey, this is how you get X amount from. So it's not just black, but exactly. It was overwhelmingly black.
The people that
all the man needs is an inch. Okay. It's 60% black doing the scamming. Okay. We're going to mess them up. We ain't going to mess with you. You know what I'm saying?
It's very difficult to scam a home loan. Because when you are going through the home loan process, as we've done a number of times, I mean, we got a few mortgages now.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at your pay stubs.
You're doing deep forensics.
Whatever house that you mm-hmm. want, you're getting an appraisal on that house. There's so many checks and balances when it comes to getting a loan, a mortgage, that yeah. I think that the scammers were scamming around smaller size loans, personal loans, car loans.
I agree.
But you really can't scam no mortgage.
It's it's what you call an overcorrection, right? It's just.
Well, we don't know. We need, you know what we need? In my opinion, we need a whistleblower. We need someone on the inside, tweet, to tweet that horn to let us know. Was it a memo? What was it?
It was definitely organized, right? This is not a coincidence.
But maybe it's not a memo because that's systemic racism, right?
Exactly.
It's hard to just pinpoint mm-hmm. one thing, which makes
plausible deniability.
Exactly, which makes it so incredibly hard. You know, one of the quotes that this person said, the individual from Texas that was denied was like, they felt that it had to do with their race, but they couldn't prove it. That was their, you know, their quote, mm-hmm. that they couldn't prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is how you prove it. You prove yeah. it when you pull large numbers of data and then you see the patterns and you see the trends, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's how we prove it.
I agree. Well, let's give some closing thoughts on this one because I got a couple other interesting things to run through.
We've harped on this.
No, enough. But this is good stuff. I think for me, I would encourage people to be aware of what's going on in the scam culture because that will help you have more of a more of a keen eye on sniffing out stuff that doesn't seem right in general is what I'm talking about. I think sometimes we get so rose colored glasses when we see a black person or someone that looks like us talking about finance and they're using these trigger words as like, oh yeah, I've heard black married and debt-free say those words before. So now you see someone else who may not have the same integrity mm-hmm. using similar words, but really their end goal is to siphon money from you or get you to do something that may be not above board. So absolutely. We need to kind of be aware of what are some of the tendencies, what are some of the you know, things that happen in that world because there is an underworld to this, just like right. anything else. And so, unfortunately, I think maybe that may have contributed here, but it still is unfortunate. At the end of the day, black people are not getting equal treatment. And that's, I think, the big takeaway, you know, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I would add to that because, you know, you mentioned the unfair treatment and in this story, the individual went to another bank and was approved within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so you knock on a door and if it don't open, hey, there's another door.
There's another door.
You just need to find that door. I feel that sometimes these narratives are discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, well, I'll never get a home. So let me focus in on my credit score. That's why we got so many people talking about credit scores and not really talking about how to get real wealth and how to get assets.
Yes.
You know, so whatever your goal is, don't let these stories get you down. Don't let these scammers get you down.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep going.
Keep pushing.
And I think that you're right, that we need to be aware and have discernment when it comes to what people are saying online. Last night, there was a short, and I had to show you. Like, it was how to become the first millionaire in your family.
Oh, Lord.
So this lady, God bless her, because I don't think she's a scammer. I just think that she's just not, you know, well informed. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she got on her whiteboard and was like, this is how to become the first millionaire in your family. Mm-hmm. And what she said didn't make a lick of sense. And someone in the chat, and this is a quote, someone said, did you actually do this? Question mark. And the person who created the video came back and said, no, I didn't, but I could.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, at least she was honest. She's teaching you how to do something that she has not done. No proof of concept. Exactly. No proof of concept. And when you ask her, well, have you done it? Have you become the first millionaire in your family? Their response is, no, but I could. But see, boo, you didn't.
Thank you.
And because you didn't, that really takes away from your credibility. So you need to put in the work. And once you put in the work, then you can come back and tell somebody something. You can give your testimony. You can educate. Or if you're on the journey, I have no problem. You tell us a story while you're on the journey. You can share your wins. You can share your progress. Because we want to celebrate that. But you want to pull up a whiteboard and talk about how to become a friend. You got my attention. Mm-hmm. You got my attention.
Got me to stop scrolling.
Thank you. And I watched the video. I said, let me go to these comments because I can see through this. This is nonsense.
Nonsense.
I appreciate the honesty. I didn't do it, but I could.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I think that social media for me, Shire, when we started this, and we kind of getting off a little bit, when we started this, there was such a purity,
yes,
to the financial movement, and it has gotten so just nasty and toxic that I sometimes sit back and be like, I'm not that. So if y'all, if that's how the community looks now, then I'm not a part of the community, and I want to make declare that, like, I'm not involved with this. You know what I mean? And that's from...
Well, we're not scammers. Let's just exactly. say we try to operate from a point of integrity.
My thought on finance is either you need to have a certification to talk about what you're talking about, or you need to have done it yourself.
Lived experience.
Just because you bring a bunch of people on your show that say they've done X, Y, and Z that you didn't
have... that you haven't vetted.
Yeah, that you haven't vetted.
Thank you.
That don't give you... to make you an authority in the space, or what do they call it? Subject matter expert.
Right.
Just because you can bring people on your show and could talk a bunch of noise.
Right. And you know what? We've done a few news articles, and before they would write about us, we had to show proof. We had to show proof that we owned. Yes. We had to show proof that we owned our rental properties.
Paperwork.
And then you know what? We did one article and we talked about our passive income, and it was like, I don't know, probably less than $25,000 at the time. And I didn't feel very great about that. I didn't feel that great about it because why would you not feel great about it?
Thank you.
It was because of all of this. I got 100 doors and it's just like, but y'all lying.
Yeah.
At least we tell it the
truth. Comparing yourself to a lie and don't even really realize it. You know?
Right. But so. Anywho, back to this. Navy Federal Credit Union, I think in the article in CNN, they do go on to say that about 18% of its mortgages are with Black folks. So about 1 in 5 of all the mortgages that they have given out have been to Black people.
Are there a lot of Black people in the military? Maybe military, United States military, maybe only a fifth of them or 1 of 5 are Black folks. You know what I mean?
I don't know. But this is the thing, because the article slams them, but then turn around and praises them.
Mm.
You know? So it's like you...
There was one theory that this could be somewhat like propaganda from Navy Federal. Maybe there was a purposeful leak from Navy Federal to kind of change the narrative to let folks know, like, you can't just scam us, like kind of like a dog whistle.
Oh, that's a theory.
Yeah, that was a running theory that I heard someone say on JT's live stream.
Oh, like a commentary, someone's commentary.
Yeah, but I thought that was that could hold some truth, because how else could we get the information? Like, y'all stop trying to scam us. We really cracking down, or we really this, or there's an effect to the scam. Somebody may have thought, well, let's leak these numbers and see if that quells, because the goal is to get people to stop trying to scam you, because now you have to catch them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think Navy Federal wants to catch a bunch of people. They want you to just, like, don't even apply unless you're reputable or unless you're telling the truth. But anyway, Shire, I got a couple other things. Did you have anything to close this one out?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting theory.
Yeah. No, it's just a theory.
Like I said, you know, the article does turn around and share. It says a fourth of its conventional mortgage applicants are Black. I think that's a very high number. So yeah. I do think that Blacks probably have been had their eye on that bank. Mm-hmm. And then it says in about 18% of the conventional loans it originates went to Black borrowers. So that's and it goes on to say a higher portion than almost any other large lender. So on one side is saying you're denying, but then in terms of you're denying a lot of Black applicants, but then it turns around and says that a larger portion than almost any other large lender. So I'm like, you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, one thing we'll do for sure is, and that is keep an eye on this story and see what more information comes out.
Yes.
There are a couple fun things I wanted to touch on before we get on out of here. Customers meet for 8 hours. Wait outside of the newest In-N-Out Burger in Idaho.
Ooh.
Is that really? Is that worth it in your opinion? Is that crazy? What are your thoughts?
Okay, so In-N-Out Burger, I think, is native to California.
Yep.
So if you visit California, most people are going to tell you, you have to go to In-N-Out Burger. Mm-hmm. Let me describe an In-N-Out Burger for you. There's a bun. There's a thin piece of meat.
Super thin.
There's a huge chunk of lettuce, a fresh sliced tomato,
a slice of onion that is about as big as the patty,
a slice of onion the size of the patty.
That's all you smell around in
the
house. Onion.
It's like a garden burger.
Yeah,
and a secret sauce.
Secret sauce
that resembles the Big Mac sauce.
Yes, Shire. So what if we always said, like, after one of us eats a burger? And we go to give the other one a good night kiss or whatever. That burger, that onion is on that person's breath for 2 days.
Yes, you will pass. You will cause people around you to pass out. I will say the fries are fresh. So like when you're going through the line, you can see them like honking away at those potatoes.
Yes.
Even though the last couple times I've gone, I haven't seen anyone chopping potatoes. So I don't know if they've changed. But they was manually, not like... There was a machine, an mm-hmm. apparatus that they used, but they had those real potatoes hunking down. And their fries, number one, you have to eat them hot. I think that is universally understood.
Yes.
And number two, you got to eat them right away. Like, mm-hmm. don't even touch that burger. You need to eat those fries, because if those fries cool, they're not going to be
terrible.
Very good.
Terrible.
So that's a long time to wait. I can understand the enthusiasm. I will say that the In-N-Out Burger lines in our neighborhood are so long.
Yeah, they're extremely long.
You're going to be waiting in that line for a while, but it's not a place that I frequent very often.
But now In-N-Out prices are good.
They are good.
That's why I think a lot of people still go there.
Yes, the prices are good. Mm-hmm. You can get a burger for, you know, under $5.
Yes.
Like, that's good.
The service is excellent.
Yeah, the service is excellent. They don't say my pleasure, but they usually hire, like, good staff. And they train their staff pretty well. And In-N-Out Burger used to pay really good.
Yeah, did they drop that down a little bit?
I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea, but I know, like, people were getting out of high school going to work at In-N-Out mm-hmm. Burger because they were paying some really good prices before. They're like a family company. I don't think they're, like, publicly traded or anything, not to my knowledge. But I want to hear the feedback from y'all from Idaho.
Yeah, what y'all think, man? What y'all think about it?
We got a fan base in Idaho, but if you're from Idaho, hey,
yeah,
let
yeah.
us know how that In-N-Out Burger was for you. Yeah. I hope it was worth the wait.
Right. All right, last one, Shire. We're going to get on out of here. Tesla recalls 2 million vehicles over autopilot safety issue. What do you think about that? I know we watched a movie recently.
Mm-hmm. The Barack and Michelle Obama Netflix movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was Left Behind or Leave the World Behind.
Oh, so y'all check that out. Maybe that was like a...
They had some auto-driving Teslas that was going crazy as a result to like...
Don't tell the movie, Marcus.
Okay. All right.
Look, that's going to be another podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what do you think about that, man? The auto driving thing is, I'm not sold on that, Shire.
Okay,
I'm not
so
doing that.
They were investigating a number of crashes, mm-hmm. you know, so they want to do their conduct their investigation. So they've done the recall and they get that figured out. Look, well, I don't have a Tesla. Tesla's a little out of my budget right now. But I'm not going to buy a Tesla until they get that figured out.
Sure, there's a guy who hopped in an Uber that mm-hmm. was a self-driving Tesla, and he's sitting in the passenger side,
and he's taking
a picture. Nobody's in the driver's side. I'm not getting in a self-driving vehicle, man.
I'm not there yet.
No.
My faith is big, but I don't know if it's that big.
Yep, so... All right, Shire, that's all I got for this week. Do you got anything pressing, anything you want to talk about, or... You know, anything you want to get off your chest? We're here. We're family.
Lord, you just turned us into a whole therapy session.
Yeah.
No, I just wish everyone happy holidays. I think we're about a week away from Christmas, y'all. Yes. We try to finish our Christmas shopping. I got a Christmas budget. I said, Marcus, I don't want to even say how much money I asked for. Oh, Lord. but I have a budget. Yes. I still got a little bit of money in that budget, and I'm hoping to just take care of a few more people. Yes. And get our Christmas shopping done today.
Yes, absolutely. So that's the goal. Hopefully you'll have a great Christmas. And next week will be Christmas?
No, I think it's on Monday. So I think we might be able to do another
might be able
podcast.
To get y'all another one. Yeah.
I definitely want to do like the year in review.
Yes, where we want to talk about our financials. And that's going to be family only, y'all. So y'all really want to tune in on that.
Yes, you know how like
family meeting.
Yes, you know how like the church does that one business meeting,
right? Let you know how the year went.
Yeah, you
know
what I mean? We want to do a review.
Yeah, we want to be transparent. But anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you did, leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening, because that really helps us become visible to the masses. So we want to shout out to all of our listeners and all of our new and returning listeners. Till next time. We out. Peace.
Bye.